Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
sweet memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. Oh, my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Good morning. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, for all the wonderful things. Yes, thank you for us being able to get together and be in your word. And Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit be with us as we read your word. And that we only say what comes from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So this morning, I want to continue on with what we were talking about last Sunday. It was rather a long and in-depth subject, and a lot of people have a hard time understanding. But the gist of it is really two subjects combined into one where I'm having to do this. We're at the end times. We know we're there. But at the same time, I want people to understand that before anything that what we would call a rapture would actually happen, there's some other things that must take place first. And these things that must take place are not good things, okay? So I want to explain that. I explained last weekend, and I'm going to show you one scripture this morning, but at least a couple of them. I'm not going to get, don't have enough time to fully digress it, but to show you and explain to you that before the beast government or the Antichrist government comes on to play, there has to be a one world government. First, a lot of people think that that one world government or that one world order or whatever you want to call it is the beast government, but it's not. Okay. The beast government comes out of that one world government. That's part of what we're going to be talking about this morning. And I'm going to show you one scripture where it shows that. And at the same time, I want to show you that during the whole process of the one world government is where the persecution of the saints actually begins. It goes full throttle under the beast government, but it actually begins under the one world government. Okay? And aside from that, there's certain things that you and I as Christians will endure. There's certain things that you and I as Christians has to do. And the has to do part, I think, is where we're going to start this morning. And then we'll get into the other. They're both centrally tied to each other, but at the same time, you need to understand so you can get a big picture. Because, unfortunately, a lot of good people, they, for the lack of a better word, they can't see the forest for the trees. They see one little thing, and they're lasered in on it. But the fact of the matter is, there's other trees around them. So you got to back up a little bit, get outside the bubble, so you can see the whole forest. And that's what a lot of people do whenever they read this. They laser in on one thing. But from the beginning to the end, there's one message. One message throughout this entire book. You just got to back up so you can start putting all those pieces together. So let's start with, we go to Matthew 25. So again, this is talking to Christians, and this is also talking to Christians in the end times. Remember that. Okay? Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto virgins. So let's just stop right there. Normally I would read all this, but I think on this one here we're going to break it down as we go. Alright, so first of all, because it's calling you virgins, or just talking about virgins, he's talking about Christians, he's talking about the saints, believers, however you want to say it. That's the topic of the subject here. You and I, okay? Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Okay. Obviously the bridegroom, because it's said many times throughout the entire Bible by the bridegroom is Jesus Christ. Okay. And I want to stop right there for just a second, because it makes a difference. What you actually see and read here. Okay. When you take, I don't know if any of y'all have a concordance or any of that stuff with you at home or on your phone. I know you pull up a concordance on your phone. The word lamp here was actually taken in the Greek, because this was written in Greek. This was actually taken from the word lamppost, and a more accurate translation for the lamp would be a torch. Okay? Because that's what lamppost actually means. And when you go and pull it up in your in the Greek translation, it actually says lamppost. Not lamps, but lamppost. And let's say the word lamppost means torch. And then you can take that word lamppost and find out where the very first time it was used, because any time that you see, you always let the Bible interpret itself. Okay. So you go to the very first place of the Jews. And in fact, I went to the first 5 or 6 times that that word was used when I was researching this. It always means a dividing. Okay. First time it was used was in Genesis, and it was actually when the very first time it was used when Abraham was having his dream, and God was telling him that he was going to be the father of many, many nations. Okay? And then it says, the lamppost went between the flocks and separated them. Okay? And then another time that it was used was with the fight of the Gideon. The Gideon was out there, and he had the torches. He was going down through and separating me. And so that's every time that it's used, not every time, the vast majority of times that word is used, it's always in reference to some kind of separation. Okay? So, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise, five of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Okay. Now I've heard many people talk about this subject, about what the oil is. Okay. I've heard some people say that the oil is the Holy Spirit. I've heard some people say that the oil is faith. I've heard some people, just a whole myriad of different things of what the oil actually is. We're going to find out if it's any or all of those here in just a few minutes. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Verse 5 is where the church is right this very second. Okay? We're all slumbering. We're all sleeping. That's literally where we are right now. I mean, all you got to do is look around and you know that the church is asleep. Okay? While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Now, a lot of people will say that midnight is the darkest hour, but we all know that it's always darkest right before the dawn. But what he's actually talking about is just the last hour. You know, midnight is the changeover. Okay, so it's the last hour. It's always when we can say it's going to be the darkest hour, but not because of how much light is being put off, but it's the darkest hour. Because of the things that's going on, the turmoil that's going on, you know, all it's the point where you just right there of just giving up. Okay, that's what he's talking about. It's the ninth hour, the minute that you just really you don't have nothing left and you just you're done. That's what we're talking about there. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all the virgins, Christians, they arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Okay? Now, let me ask you a question. What do you think they're talking about as being oil now? Could it be that the Holy Spirit? It could be. It really could be. Could it be faith? I think more than likely it is the faith. Could it be the oil and faith? Absolutely, absolutely could. But what's the last thing that Christ told us as he was ascending to heaven? The last thing that he said to us. He says, go forth, preach the word. Go forth and preach the word to all nations, no matter what. Go forth and preach the word. Spread the word. Spread the gospel. Spread the good news. Whatever it is, however you want to say it. Go forth and do that. Okay? Then all the virgins rose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto them, go forth, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. Now that verse right there is, we could talk just on that one verse for hours. I'm not going to, because we could talk just on that one verse for hours. Because think about it. You got one group that was smart, that kept the oil got extra oil for their lamps, and then you got another group over here that didn't keep any oil for theirs. All they had was what was in the physical lamp itself, and because it was such a late hour and time had really flown by, that they didn't have enough oil for them. So I'm going to throw something else out there for you to ponder on. Okay? Yes, I'm not saying that the oil is not the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying that the oil is not the faith that you need to keep. In fact, I'm actually saying that it is both of them. However, the one thing that you also need to add to the equation, what did we just talk about? You have to go forth and pass and spread the word. That's what the... He was talking about the lamps up there. And then also, whenever you finish reading the little stories that I was telling you about where the lamps is actually used at, you'll see that that's kind of the things that they're talking about there as well. It's an action. It's something that you do. It's not something that's God's doing. It's something that you do. And that's the action that they were taking place back here. It was all actions that the men were doing. So, yes, you have to have faith, and yes, you have the Holy Spirit to endure all these things. But the action that you take is what we're really wanting to concentrate on. You have to go out and spread the word. You have to go out and preach the word and be a testimony for Jesus Christ. Well, at least there be a not missing. But the wise answer saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Okay? Now who could that possibly be? People that buy, that sell that oil? Well, I'd say that's these false teachers that are standing behind the pulpits that didn't give them enough of what they needed to start with, that didn't tell them what they needed, didn't explain to them what they needed. And yes, absolutely, those five virgins that were foolish, they were foolish for not picking this up by themselves. They were foolish because they didn't get into the word on their own. They were putting all their trust and faith in what some man was saying, standing behind a pulpit, that ultimately all he cared about was sending them to hell anyway, and sucking every dime they could from them. They was more worried about money than they were about the individual. Okay? That's why I've said many, many, many times, don't take my word for anything. I mean absolutely nothing. Take my word for nothing. This right here is what you need to go by. This right here is really what... keep you out of hell. Okay? If you sit down yourself and study, not read, study the Bible. And whenever you study the Bible, you're all over this thing. I promise you, you're all over it. Okay? And you will find that there's all kinds of honestly, if you was to break it down, I don't think you could put a library that could even fill just all the knowledge that's in this book. Okay? It's just enormous amounts. And every time you read it, you see something else. Every time. And the more you learn, the more you figure out that you don't know anything to start with. Okay? Every time I pick this book up and start reading, I find something else. And it might just be one single word that I didn't see when I was reading it before, but that one word makes all the difference in the world. And you got to pay attention to this stuff. That's why I say study it. Get yourself a concordance. Or if you use a computer, your phone, or a laptop, whatever the case may be, there's several good Bible apps on the internet. Several good ones. I personally use the Blue Leather Bible, and you can take, whenever you do that, and you can have it in any version of the Bible that you want. I suggest two, but you can use whatever you want. I suggest the King James number one, and the New American Standard is number two. Okay. And you take these Bibles, and you can pull up this one verse. You can literally type in there Matthew 25, and you'll see that in there. And then you can click on that one verse and hit linear, and it literally puts the Greek on this side, what it said on this side, and the meaning in between. It's in every single word in there. It's just got that concordance built into it. Okay? So then it says, like I did on lamps, and you can click on the word lamppost, okay, which is the word in Greek that they took, got the word lamp from. Okay? That word lamppost, and then you click on it, and you can see every time that that particular word is used in the New Testament. Then you scroll down a little bit further, and it shows every time that word was used in the Old Testament. And I can say, always go by what the first word, the first use of the word, because that's the general meaning throughout the rest of the Bible. It always tells you what to say, let the Bible interpret the Bible. You don't interpret the Bible. The Holy Spirit interprets for you. But the Bible does interpret itself. Okay? It gives you meanings. Every word in here, like I say, if you follow those meanings, then you can follow all the way through. I'll give you another good example of that. The one section in First Thessalonians where it says, we are not appointed to wrath. Well, that word that they use, I think, remember the actual Greek word that they use, but that word that they use for wrath in that verse, it's only used one time in the entire Bible. However, the word wrath is used multiple times. Okay? So that tells me that that word that they use for wrath there probably doesn't mean the same thing that you think it means. It's not meaning the same thing that every other time wrath is used in the Bible. So what's, when you click on that word, what's the very first thing that pops up in the concordance? Condemnation. You are not appointed to condemnation. That's not wrath. Okay? Everybody thinks wrath is just God being mad. And all the other times in Jesus, that's exactly what it means. But there it means not condemned. You're not appointed to condemnation. Makes all the difference in the world whenever you actually study. Okay? That's what you need to do. You need to study. You don't need to just read. But again, the people that are selling the oil are, you know, and you get, I've used it many times, snake oil salesman that's standing behind the pulpit selling you a bill of goods that ain't going to do you any good other than send you straight to hell. That's why it's important, again, for you to read the Bible. And if you do go to church, you need to make sure that the person that's standing behind the pulpit is not selling you a bill of goods. There's a couple good ways to find out if your pastor's good, whether it be on TV, whether it be one that you're physically going into. I promise you, if they don't use this book, well, I don't care what version it is, if they don't physically have a Bible in their hand, they're selling you a bill of goods, just straight up. Okay? So that knocks out about 99.999% of all the ones that's on TV, because you never see them over the Bible. And the second thing, if they're not using Jesus' name multiple times throughout their sermon, they're selling you a bill of goods, because that's what this book's talking about. That's what it's all about. Okay? So if you're not hearing those two things, you probably got a false teacher. You probably need to back away from them. You probably need to get into the book yourself. You probably need to find a church that's doing the things that I just said. Yeah. And that's not me telling you that. That's pretty much this book telling you that, because it's in there multiple times as well. Okay. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready then with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Let's read that again. And while they went out to buy, these were the ones that were foolish, okay, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. So you need to, we've said this many, many times. I've said it. I know the pastor says it almost on a daily basis. You need to get yourself right for Christ. You need to get right. You need to make sure that you do the things that you're supposed to do. You get yourself right, okay? You never know when he's going to come. And I'm not talking about a rapture. I'm talking about come for you as an individual. I may be driving. I'm leaving here and driving to work. I may literally be on my way to work, and some idiot crossed the center line, and I have a head-on collision to kill. I don't know. I may be sitting here preaching this message, and he comes for me. You never know when he's going to come for you as an individual. Okay? That part of the message that all preachers preach about, you know, whether it be the preacher, poster, whatever, they all, it's one thing that we all agree upon, is you never know when he's going to come for you as an individual. Okay? You always need to have yourself right. You need to be ready at all times, because that's what Philip's talking about here. But what do you have to do with the world? Well, first of all, you have to believe, you have to confess, you have to be baptized. You know, there's multiple things that you have to do to start your way for salvation. And the road to salvation is a long road in some cases. You need to start working on that. The very first thing, which I didn't mention there, but the very first thing that you have to do is repent. And repenting is not just a change of mind, it's a change of action as well. The thing requires an action. Okay? Everything requires an action. You got a lot of people out there that will tell you that all you have to do is believe, anything else is works. Those people are sending you to hell. Okay? There's actions you have to take. You have to take certain actions. If you don't take those actions, then you're not going to make it in heaven. And one of those things that you are commanded to do is to preach the Word of God. It's not just preachers that are supposed to be preaching the Word. It's everybody. You're supposed to witness all the time. Witness all the time for God. Okay? Witnessing means that you're preaching. You're spreading the Word. You're spreading the good news. That's what all this is talking about here. You had one group that had done what they told them to do, that God told them to do. Go out there and preach the Word. Keep the faith. Okay? He told them that. Preach the Word and keep the faith. The best way to keep the faith is to preach the Word. The more you talk about God, the stronger your faith gets. A lot of people don't want to believe that, but that's the truth. The more you talk about God, the stronger your faith gets. The more indwelled with the Holy Spirit you get on a daily basis. Afterward, came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. And again, I want to stress the fact, all 10 of these were virgins. All 10 of them were people that said they were Christians. All 10 of them were. So again, just because you say you're a Christian, and just because you believe you're a Christian, and just because you believe in Jesus Christ, does not mean you're making it into heaven. And he stressed that point, that everybody, it seems like every church that you go to and all the words that you hear on TV and stuff, that all you have to do is believe and you're going to heaven. That's not so. He's telling you right here, these are virgins. These are Christians. Yeah? We talked about this very subject last weekend as well. Okay? You're not, just because you say you're a Christian does not mean you're going to heaven. Just because you believe in Jesus Christ does not mean you're going to heaven. Satan definitely believes in Jesus Christ, and we know what he's doing unequivocally, okay? All the demons know and believe in Jesus Christ. If you remember the story where the man was, you know, possessed of all those demons, and they begged Christ not to send them back, to put them into the pigs, okay? They obviously believed in it. They obviously knew. They didn't even believe. They knew, okay? Because they knew who he was, and they begged him not to send them back to where they came from. They wanted to be sent into the pigs instead of in the man. But he answered and said, "Verily, I say unto you, I know you not." Those are the scariest words on the face of this planet, bar none. Okay? I don't care who you are, what you think you are, how big and strong and everything, you hear those words, your heart just is going to sink because you know it's over. You know where you're going at that point. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." And we're going to stop there for that. But again, it's important that you understand that you have actions that you have to take. You have to go out and spread the word. Again, that was the last thing that Christ told us as he was ascended into heaven. You have to go out and spread the word. You have to go out and read this book, because you can't spread the word if you're not knowing what the word is. You have to read it, you have to study it, you have to understand it. The more you read, the more you profess, the more that you spread the word, the more infilling of the Holy Spirit you'll get, and then the more you don't want to spread the word. And it just is a recurring cycle, okay? And over the course of time, you'll have that full infilling of the Holy Spirit, and that's when you're going to be the one that has the full lamp. And you're not going to be one of those people that has their lamps go out. Okay. So now let's turn to Daniel. The book of Daniel. Part of the read from Revelation first. I think we'll read it from Daniel first. So let's go to chapter 7, Daniel chapter 7. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm going to read part of it because it jumps between two different subjects, and we're just worried about one subject. Okay. "In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visioned of his head upon his head. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens drove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up out of the sea, diverse from one another. The first was like a lion." Remember this description. "First was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. And it was lifted up from the earth, and may stand on his feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in its mouth, and of it, between the teeth of it. And they said, thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. After this, I beheld, and lo, another like like a leopard, which upon the back of it had four wings of a fowl, and the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. And this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. It had a great iron, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake into many pieces, and snapped the residue of the feet of it. It was diverse from all the other beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, for whom there were three, before whom there were three. And the first horn plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Okay, let's stop right there. First of all, let me explain it to you just briefly. Now the Bible explains, and you'll see over here again, because I'm going to go into the interpretation of it in just a second. Each of the beasts are kingdoms. Okay? And each of the kingdoms obviously has a king. Okay? So this was starting from the time of Daniel, and I'm not going to get into what all the different beasts were, okay? Because there's a couple of different versions of who these ancient, I shouldn't say ancient, but historical nations were. Okay? The one we want to concentrate on is the fourth piece. Okay? Fourth piece, which is the one that's coming up right now. Fourth. And it says that out of the fourth beast will be 10 horns. Okay? I want to stop right there for just a second. Explaining something that has already happened that a lot of people don't even know about, but it has already happened. The United Nations, okay, which, by the way, I personally think he supports these, but the United Nations has divided the earth into 10, I don't want to call them kingdoms, but 10 sections or 10 provinces or however you want to look at it. And you can go to the UN website, like this minute, and you can pull this up, and I promise you the world is divided into 10 sections, and they're color-coded. Each of the 10 sections are color-coded. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that at this particular point that the kingdom has been given to those 10 little sections, because it hasn't, but over the course of time, you will notice that when the one world government as we know it comes into play, those 10 sections, there will be a president or whatever the case may be in charge of each one of those little sections, king or ruler, whatever you want to call them, be in charge of one of those 10 little sections. Okay? That's already happened. That happened a few years ago, in fact. Okay? So already, you can see that what this book is telling us is very factual, okay? And this was written 600 years before Christ. So already we can see that a lot of this stuff is very, very factual, so there's no point in questioning what it says. We just need to take it and run with it and be forewarned with what it says. That's the key to it, okay? So once this one world government comes up, the 10 horns is going to appear, okay? And it says, out of one of them, it's going to be this little horn. Okay? And I'm sure all of you have heard about the little horn. That's the Antichrist. He comes up out of the 10. Okay? But in the process of him coming up, he's going to pluck out 3 of them, which is going to give you the 8. Okay? Yeah, and then back in Revelation, we read it last weekend. Out of the 10, there'll be 8. And it actually says that, but here, we'll look at it right here again. And we'll stop right there for this part. So now let's go over to, maybe go to the right place. I don't want to We do a lot of stuff we don't have to because we won't run short of time. All right, so now let's go to verse 17. So, actually, we'll start with 16. I came near unto them and stood by and asked them the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of these things. These great beasts, which are four kings which shall rise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High, you know, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. We already know that. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, breaking to pieces, and stamped the residue of his feet. And of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellow. I beheld, and the same horn made war the saints and prevailed against them. In other words, the Antichrist is going to go against us and he's going to wind up killing us. Okay? Until the age of the days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Okay? So again, the Bible is progressive revelation. This is Daniel's vision. Okay? This is exactly what Daniel's saying. And we're going to go and read this exact same thing in Revelation. But in Revelation, because this progressive revelation gives you just a little bit more information as to what's going to happen. Okay, so now let's go to Revelation. Bible's falling apart. If your Bible's falling apart, that means you're using it. We're going to start off with Revelation 12. Okay, we're not going to read the whole chapter. We're only going to read the first 8 verses of it. I'll start off with Revelation 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And he drew the third part of the stars, and did cast them to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God, and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared for God, that she should feed her for 1,260 days, just 3.5 years. And there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was there a place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Okay, we're going to stop right there. Now let's go over. Let me explain just briefly. I'm not going to get into a thorough explanation of what's going on there, but the thing that you need to understand here, while the last part of this, when it's talking about her child was called up on God and to his throne, that's obviously talking about Jesus. There's absolutely no doubt in anybody's mind who that is. There's absolutely no doubt that the dragon, in one part of it, you've got to, I don't know if you know this, but 99.99% of all prophecies in the Bible have more than one meaning. Okay? This is a prophecy because it hasn't happened yet, so it has to be considered a prophecy. This also has dual meaning. Okay? The dragon, one, is what is called the beast and the dragon. Okay? The red dragon, one, is Satan, as it says so. But at the same time, he's also the one world government slash beast government because it all hadn't taken place at that particular point yet. Okay? So you got to understand that because, again, you see that he has the seven heads and 10 horns. Remember the 10 horns from back here? Because, let's say, you got to put all this stuff in context. And it's hard to do because a lot of times people can't see the forest or the tree. They see one thing and they want to laser in on that. You can't do that, by the way. So now we want to go to chapter 13. Okay? And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his head, the name of Blasphemy. Okay? And the beast, we already know what a beast is. We learned that back here in Daniel. That's the government. And the beast, which I saw, was like unto a leopard, his feet. Remember, well, I told you to remember the things that the creatures that they were talking about back there. And the beast which I saw was likened unto a leopard, as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. All the world wondered after the beast. Okay? A lot of people think, at this point, that they're talking about the Antichrist. Again, you got to understand, full prophecy. We're talking, for the purposes of what we're talking about today, the beast is governed, okay? And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and the power was given unto him to continue 42 months, again, 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. It was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them, another way, the exact same words that said in Daniel, overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Again, this is one world government. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life, and the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Okay? Again, dual prophecies, side by side at the same time, part of it is talking about the one world government, part of it is literally talking about the Antichrist himself. Okay? And a lot of people truly can't separate the two. That's why you got to take the Old Testament with the New Testament to get the full understanding of what it's talking about. Okay? So, the point being, if you've seen it both in the book of Daniel, you've seen it here, and he alluded to the exact same thing that we've been in Matthew. Okay? Why do you think that they were making war with the saints? Okay? Because we're talking against them. We're downgrading them. We're telling the world who this Antichrist is. We're telling the world who this government is. We're saying this government's straight out of hell because this belongs to Satan. This is Satan's government. We're telling people that. Just like I'm doing right now. We're telling what these two entities are. Okay? We're letting people know that that little horn is an Antichrist. We're letting people know that that beast that little horn came out of is the one world government. It's the beast government. We're letting everybody know that. We're letting everybody know, don't do what it tells you to do. Do what this book tells you to do, okay? Don't be complacent. Don't do the things. Don't follow the crowd, so to speak. As I told you last Sunday, if there was a fire, you don't follow everybody else. You go to the opposite side and you just where you make it through, okay? All of this is the gate to destruction, okay? It's where everybody goes. That's what I'm telling you. Don't follow the crowd. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to let everybody know that they're following the crowd. I promise you, you're going to be, you're judging me. Don't worry about it. You're not judging. That's going to be left up to the Creator, okay? He's going to judge them. You're letting them know that they're going to be judged, okay? There's a distinct difference between the two. Don't let anybody tell you that, okay? You just go on about your business, and that, because you're doing these things, that's why you're going to be martyred, okay? Because you're talking out, okay? And there is truly going to come a time, and it's not far off. Truly going to come a time when you're going to have to make a decision, okay? And many, talked about last Sunday, and we gave some examples here. The example today was nearly as spiritual as the one we talked about last Sunday. But just because you say you're a Christian does not mean you're going to heaven, okay? Straight up. And one of the things that you're going to be dealing with is you may be standing there told to bend over on your knees, and you've got some yahoo with a sword above your head fixing to chop your head off, okay? And you're going to have to make a decision, because they're going to ask you straight up. Do you denounce God, or you denounce Jesus, or both, however they say it, okay? And will you worship the whatever name that they give the Antichrist, or are you going to worship him? And you're going to have that choice. If you make the wrong choice, you're going to have your head cut off. I shouldn't say the wrong choice. That's actually the right choice. But as far as they're concerned, if you make the wrong choice, they're going to chop your head off. And then you're going to go and live the deal of Christ. If you make the choice that they want you to make, then you will get up and you'll go worship the beast, and you're going to wind up living in hell for eternity. Okay? Each and every one of us are going to have these choices to make. In fact, you've got that choice right now. And dealing with that choice today, okay? That's what it all boils down to. You have to make these choices daily, but at the same time, there's going to come a time when you're literally going to have that sword thrown over your head, okay? Whether it be a sword or a guillotine or whatever the case may be, the Bible plainly states we will be beheaded, okay? So you're going to be beheaded. I personally would think that would be a very honorable thing, okay? And I'm talking not just honorable in this fact that I'm choosing Christ over Satan, but it's also honorable in the fact that many of the apostles, that's how they were killed. Namely, Paul. That's how Paul was killed. He was beheaded. And they gave him the exact same choice, by the way. The exact same choice. Except it wasn't Satan that he was asked to worship. It was Caesar. But it's the exact same choice that we're all going to be facing. Okay? You got that choice on a daily basis. And if you make the wrong choice now, like I say, you never know. You might be driving home or going pick your kids up from school. Who knows? You could have a heart attack. You could be ran over by a bus. I mean, you could have somebody in ongoing traffic come up shot. I mean, that's happened a lot lately. You know, you just never know. You need to get yourself right with God. You need to get into this book. You need to understand what it actually says. And that's the point behind what I was trying to get at today, okay? One is to make sure that you're ready. And two, if you understand there's more than one government coming upon us here in the near future, because I promise you, because I've heard it many, many times, there's one world government, and the Christians are going to be here for the one world government. That's the beast government. No, it's not. And yes, you will. Okay? You will be here. You will be persecuted, because persecution starts under the one world government. For that matter, it's already started. But, I mean, it picks up pace whenever the one world government comes upon us. Okay? And I'm not going to get into how I think that's going to happen, because I've definitely got my ideas. But I'm not going to get into that, because while everything that I believe is going to happen is right here, and I could write it out right now and almost give you the timeline when it's going to happen and how it's going to happen. But because it's prophecy, things, you know, things can move around and time tables can change, so I'm not going to get into that. Point is, there's a one world government. And out of that one world government will come the beast. The beast government. Okay? Not that the government per se literally changes, but he takes charge of it. That's the point that you need to understand. Out of those 10 comes the little horn. Out of the 10 sections that the earth is going to be divided in, 10 provinces or whatever. Out of those 10 arises the little horn, the Antichrist. Can't have the Antichrist without the one world government. And one world government, by the way, whenever you read on the one world government, it's called a, Babylon, actually. A lot of people want to call Mr. Babylon this and that and all this other stuff, but that's truly what it is. One world government is Mr. Babylon. You know, the whore riding the beast, okay? And then the beast kills the whore. Well, that's what we're talking about. Okay? It all plays out when you read it and study it. Okay? But I'm going to stop there for today. I think we at least got a good start on where we were wanting to go. The point being, you need to get yourself right. You need to make sure you're right. You need to go out regularly, witness, because witnessing is the last command that you're given, not what they command. Christ tells you to do it, it's a command. So if he tells you to do anything, it's a command. He's your creator. He commands you to do it, okay? It's because the word command ain't there. It don't mean anything, okay? By the sheer fact of who he is, anything he says is a literal command, okay? You must do, okay? All right, so we'll stop there. Let us go to the Father in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the things you've given us. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you'll be with all the little babies that are being murdered home. We'll pray that you'll give faith and strength to all the people that are being persecuted and martyred in your name. Because, Lord, we know there are many martyrs in your name. So thank you, Lord, for all the trials and tribulations you give us each and every day. We know that you give us these things so that we can be stronger in our faith and build more character. Thank you for these things. Also, thank you for all the wonderful things that you've given us. Thank you for all the things that you've done for us. We ask, Lord, that you take care of all the needs of all the people that's on the prayer list. I know what that need is, you know what it is. Please help me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.